Act 4, Owning Your Dream. Chapter 15, Don't Wait to be Picked. I am an artist and not a politician. I want to end my life as an artist. Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was an artist and house painter long before he became a tyrannical hate monger. He just didn't see it. Something happened on the way to being a creative entrepreneur, and the rest, as they say, is history. Stephen Pressfield even criticized Hitler in his perennial bestseller, The War of Art. Quote, "You know, Hitler wanted to be an artist. At 18, he took his inheritance, 700 kronen, and moved to Vienna to live and study. Ever see one of his paintings? Neither have I. Resistance beat him. Call it overstatement, but I'll say it anyway. It was easier for Hitler to start World War II than it was for him to face a blank square of canvas." End quote. Pressfield gets part of it right. Hitler did dream of becoming an artist, moving to Vienna, and eventually auditioning several times for the Vienna school. But Pressfield not only makes a huge overstatement here, he doesn't give any light to the efforts Hitler put in to become an artist. It wasn't resistance that kept Hitler from becoming an artist. It was Hitler's reliance on the gatekeepers that kept him from forging his own path. Throughout his youth, Hitler dreamed of attending the Academy of Fine Arts Vienna, the Vienna School. He applied twice and was rejected both times. He passed the timed portion of the application, but his portfolio was found to be lacking in depth and was told his portfolio was more suitable for architecture students. My guess is that Hitler was a linear creative. One look at his paintings and you see the order, structure, and process clearly. It was also evident in his political plans to eliminate anyone and anything that stood in the way of his rise to power, but I digress. Hitler didn't have the academic credentials to apply to the School of Architecture, and he had no interest in, or money for, going back to school to get the prerequisites out of the way. For 6 years, he hustled on the streets of Vienna, selling watercolors and subsisting on his own, doing what he could to make a living. He painted hundreds, if not thousands, of works in his lifetime. He even sold a few pieces over the years, and the few works that still survive are not bad, artistically speaking. Finally, he called it quits in Vienna and headed to Munich, eventually serving in the Bavarian army during World War I. He took his art to the front lines as a soldier to fill downtime. It wasn't until after the war ended and his return to civilian life that Hitler took to politics. Imprisoned for years after a failed coup attempt, he wrote the book that became his platform for his ultimate rise to power, not as an artist, but as the criminal we now know him to be. And his art? Much of it has been seized, destroyed, or held under lock and key to never see the light of day. The U.S. government confiscated a cache of Hitler art, refusing to ever show it due to its controversial nature. Would things have turned out differently for Hitler if he'd been born in 1989 instead of 1889? Eliminating the barrier to entry. In nearly every corner of the creative world, the barriers to entry that once existed, the gatekeepers, have been virtually eliminated. Want to write a book? You can self-publish. Want to record an album? There's an app for that. Want to write, film, or star in a movie? Pull out your phone and start shooting, upload it to the internet, and you've done it. Industries that have been tightly guarded for decades are feeling a seismic shift in the way things are done and in the way people get discovered. YouTube sensations are getting book deals, not because they're great writers, but because they've developed a platform of raving fans that publishers know will buy their book. I can't tell you how many bad books make the bestseller lists simply because a legion of raving fans bought it. Ever hear of Michael Lee Austin? No? Well, that's because it's a fictional persona created by internet marketer Armin Morin to prove a point. In 2006, Morin wanted to prove that with a big enough platform, anyone could have a hit single, best-selling book, or whatever. So he and his team recorded an album, built a website, and sent an email to his list inviting them to join him for an exclusive training event. He also had several of his colleagues send an email to their list, affiliate marketing at its finest. The cost of admission was buying 2 copies of his album and emailing him a copy of the receipt for proof. Naturally, his raving fans jumped at the chance for an intimate training session, and the cost of 2 albums was significantly less than what he ever charged for one of his training seminars in the past. That made it an easy buy for his fans. Within a few days, Morin's marketing plan worked. His album was the number 1 country album, indie album, and overall, beating out big-name country acts like Kenny Chesney. Morin's album, as Michael Lee Austin, Labor Pains, debuted at number 7 on the Billboard Internet Music Chart and number 63 on Billboard's overall country music chart, proving that you don't have to be good, you just have to be a good marketer. Badges? You don't need a stinking badge. In 1889, without the implied endorsement of an art school, Hitler wasn't considered a true artist, at least not by himself. Without the credentials from an institution, all Hitler could do was want to be an artist. But the fact remains that he did paint, he did draw, and that, by definition, means he was an artist. He even got paid for it, which made him a professional artist. But because Hitler didn't have the seal of approval from some gatekeeper, he carried himself like a wannabe. He, and perhaps the bulk of the Viennese audience for whom he was painting, never saw himself as anything more than a street painter, a wannabe at best. But in today's world, the story could have been much different. Hitler could have international reach. He could build a following. And with his style of charismatic and passionate appeal, probably could have made a killing as an independent artist. How different would the world be had Hitler realized his artistic dreams? How many lives could have been impacted in a completely different way had he simply chosen to ignore the gatekeepers and find his own path as an artist? We'll never know how things could have turned out for Hitler, but what about you? The gatekeepers and credentials you're looking for, waiting for, hoping for in order to validate your work as a creative entrepreneur? The very nature of entrepreneurship is that you can't wait for someone else to discover you. You've got to pick yourself, promote yourself, share your work with an audience, and keep sharing it consistently until your raving fans show up and start sharing it for you. Keep meeting people. Keep connecting. Don't let someone else define your worth. Do the work, share the work, get paid, and keep working. That's the best way to be a creative entrepreneur. Your assignment. Pick yourself. Don't wait. You've done a lot of work already. Identify your barriers to entry and start formulating ways around them. Celebrate. It's what we do, yo.